This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. The State Department issues an annual report on human trafficking. It calls the practice the equivalent of modern-day slavery, including commercial sex exploitation and forced labor. This year, for the first time, the U.S. included itself in the document, saying the U.S. has a serious problem with human trafficking as a source country, as well as a destination for victims. Sarah Lerner of member station KUOW in Seattle looked at the problem in Washington state. She has this report.
7 years ago, Washington became the first state in the nation to make human trafficking a crime on the state level. Now 44 states have a similar law. And just in the last few years, there's been a flurry of legislative activity all across the country to address the issue. Dozens of new laws increase criminal penalties for traffickers and legislate better help for victims of coercion and force. Kathleen Morris heads the Washington State Anti-Trafficking Response Network, or WARN.
You know, we think of trafficking as this huge network of organized crime, which it can be, but it can also just be, you know, a couple that wanted a nanny but didn't want to pay for it.
Human trafficking victims do more than just sex work. In fact, the majority are forced laborers in all kinds of industries, from construction to agriculture or housekeeping. In a Seattle suburb, one woman from East Africa was tricked and ended up working here as virtually a domestic slave. Sadly, her story is somewhat typical. She doesn't like to talk about it, but she's doing so now.
Because I want other people who are going to the same situation that I had before to be careful about it.
She can't say her name or even say which country she's from. If she reveals who her perpetrators are, they could come after her, or worse, hurt her family back in her home country, which is where this all began. There, she took care of a wealthy woman's house. They got along so well that the woman asked her to go to the U.S. and work for her relatives, who are also from this same country. But she said no. She didn't want to leave her kids. Her boss persisted, but she kept refusing. Then the woman offered to put her daughters in boarding school.
Boarding school back home is very important, especially for girls. So I said, that sounds good. Putting my children in boarding school and coming to visit them, oh, that's a good idea.
So the family organized her documents and brought her all the way to Seattle. But things were bad. Her duties far exceeded those of the job back home. She took care of a 2-year-old and a baby, and all of the family's meals, cooking, cleaning, gardening.
I was responsible for everything, except that only their body they washed by themselves. But I was responsible for everything.
She worked almost 100 hours a week. The couple paid her $70 a month and insisted she talk to no one.
Why did these people do this to me? It really makes me sad when I remember this story.
But eventually, this woman did get away, and she got in touch with an immigration attorney. Charges were even brought against the couple she worked for, and she was able to recover her proper wages. That's a rare good outcome for these kinds of cases. Eric Breitsky heads the Human Trafficking Unit for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He says human trafficking is one of the most hidden crimes in the U.S.
We're dealing with foreign-born victims. Who are often in the United States illegally, may not speak the language, come from a country where their cultural norms and mores are different, where there may be social caste systems in place, and where law enforcement may be generally distrusted.
The State Department won't even give an estimate of how many victims there are right now in the U.S., but we know this woman is among about 300 people who last year received a visa specifically designated for human trafficking victims. The State Department says the U.S. has to do a better job at identifying these victims. Breitsky says it's a matter of educating law enforcement on what to look for.
It's very easy to understand force in terms of a physical assault. But what about psychological coercion? What about a threat against a family member? What about a threat against a child who's left in a home country? We want to make the light bulb go off and to recognize that something might be going on here that they need to follow up with.
Back in Seattle, Kathleen Morris with Washington State's anti-trafficking group says she's hopeful these days.
There has been a great movement in the United States over the last 10 years to address this issue. We're really at a good place right now as far as attention to it.
Meanwhile, the woman who went through it all, she's made a new life for herself. She has a job in healthcare. And after years without seeing her kids, they're finally together again. She's at her own apartment in Seattle, making her daughter's beef with ugali. It's a staple all over East Africa.
Dinner is ready.
Because Ella feels hungry.
For NPR News, I'm Sarah Lerner in Seattle.